turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in the second chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Matthew chapter 2. So grateful for the opportunity again to be back and to be able to study together this evening and before the work week begins to have time in God's Word. And we want to look at some things from Matthew's Gospel chapter 2. And in particular, we want to look at verses 13 through verse 23. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came to the land of Egypt. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. One thing that is interesting is when you study the Bible, the Word of God, you will find that many of the prophecies were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's a shame that many talk about the birth of Christ and never realize just exactly why He was born. Everything that happened was the fulfillment of prophecy. And when God said that something is going to happen, there is no one that can stop it. And at this time, I want to share with you some simple things that man could not do to Jesus. I just want to call this sermon, They Could Not. And I want us to look at some things they could not do to Jesus. The first thing I want you to put down is they could not keep Him from being born. You can go back and read in the second Psalm, and you can read in Isaiah and other prophets that it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born and He would come from the seed of woman, that He would come from the tribe of Judah. And no one had the power to stop Him from being born of the virgin. You remember that when the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches throughout Galatia, he says in chapter 4 and in verse 4, that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Look at that statement carefully in verse 4 again, when he said that Jesus what came at the right time, when the fullness of time had come. And there was no man who could stop Him from being born. But then if you think about the second thing we just read in Matthew chapter 2, they could not kill Him after He was born. After His birth, you'll find that Herod had told the wise men to find Jesus, that he wanted to worship Him. But in reality, we find in Matthew 2, he wanted to kill Him. And the Lord gave instruction to Joseph to flee unto Egypt. And so Jesus is there for a time in Egypt as a baby because Herod was seeking His life. And notice it was prophesied that Herod would do such. And you think about the massacre of all the young baby boys, 2 years of age and younger, that were put to death as Herod's wrath was kindled because he heard that Jesus was born and he was fearful of this baby taking his kingdom. And yet, my friend, they tried to kill Him, but they could not. I want that to be impressed upon our hearts this evening. They tried to kill him, but they could not kill him when he was born. But thirdly, if you take your Bible, look in the Gospel of Luke and the 4th chapter. And I want you to note they could not kill his earthly ministry. In the book of Luke and the 4th chapter, when Jesus goes to his hometown, he's going to preach to the people at that particular time. And he takes the book, and notice the Bible tells us what he says. He's in verse 17, he stood up to read. And when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, he opened the book and he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim acceptance, the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if you look at what happened at that time, he closed the book and he gave it back. And he began preaching to the people. But notice in your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 4th chapter, that some of them did not like what he had to preach. In fact, if you take and look in the book of Matthew in the 4th chapter, you'll find that they did not like it to the point that when they heard that Jesus was there, that they began to think about ways that they might destroy him. I want you to think about that when Jesus had preached to the people that they did not like what he had to say and they did not appreciate it, but they could not kill his earthly ministry. But then again, if you look in your Bible, notice something else they could not do. They could not make him sin on earth. I want you to think about they tried to get him to fall into temptation. And I said Matthew 4 a moment ago, but that is where we see the devil, as well as Luke 4, trying to get Jesus to sin. And Satan did everything he could to get get Jesus to fall short of the glory of God. But if you notice what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer in a very clear manner tells us that Jesus did not sin. He said he was tempted in all points as we are, and he said, yet he was without sin. Though man tempted him, though the devil tempted him, though the world tempted him, Jesus never yielded to the temptations of this life, and Jesus never did sin. At the cross, they spit on him, they mocked him and ridiculed him and belittled him, and yet he did not violate one law of his Father. So far, we see they could not keep him from being born. They could not kill him when he was born. They could not kill his earthly ministry when he began preaching to the people. And even though they did not like it, they could not stop him. Even though at times they picked up stones to hurl at him, he escaped it. Though one time they wanted to cast him off a cliff, he went through the crowd and they did not. They could not stop his earthly ministry. And they could not make him sin on earth. But I want you to think about something else, and it's a powerful thought. They could not keep him off the cross. Now, you may think that they want him on the cross, and that seems exactly right. But that was the very purpose he came for, was to be upon the cross. In Matthew 16, in verses 21 to 23, he told them he came to suffer and die. And Peter rebuked him and said it wasn't so. And you'll remember that Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You're not mindful of the things of God. I'm not here for your reasons. I'm here to fulfill the Father's reasons. I'm here to fulfill His will. And I will suffer." And in Matthew 27, in verses 41 and 42, you see where they mocked Him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save Himself." And my friend, He did not save Himself. Hell, he had the power to come down from that cross, but he stayed on the cross to fulfill the will of the Father. You know, it was prophesied from Isaiah 53:10, he would die to save us from our sin. Read the prophecy of Isaiah 53. That is a powerful verse. Oh, that we had time just to go through each verse of Isaiah 53. What a powerful chapter of God's divine revelation. And my friend, you remember Jesus said in John 10, "I laid down my life." They didn't take it, He gave it. And they couldn't keep Him off the cross. But I want to tell you something else they couldn't do. They couldn't keep Him in the grave. In Matthew 27:64, you remember that when they had talked to Pilate, they said, "We've heard that there would be a resurrection, and we're fearful the disciples will come and take the body." And Pilate said, "You have your soldiers to guard the tomb. Seal it. Make it as sure as you can." And you remember they put a seal upon the tomb, and they put soldiers at the tomb, but neither stone nor seal nor soldier could keep Jesus in the grave. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the soldiers were as dead. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the soldiers just was there and they didn't know what was going on. And you'll find the stone was moved away, not so Jesus could get out, but so that man could get in. And they could not keep Him in the grave. They tried their best to keep Him there, but they could not. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we find eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Have you ever thought that they wanted Him to be in that grave? They wanted to be able to present a body and say, "There He is. There's your Messiah. There's your Christ. There's your Savior." But they couldn't keep Him in the tomb. Why could they not keep Him in the tomb? Well, look in the Ephesian letter for just a moment and the first chapter. And in Ephesians chapter 1, look at what is said in verse 19 and 20. In verse 19 it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places?" The same power that raised Christ from the grave works in the lives of men and women when they are baptized into Christ, to take away sin and to add them to the family of God. But that brings up one other thing. They could not keep Him from building His church. Have you ever thought in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it"? I'll tell you, there's been opposition to the church from the very beginning. There's been division from within. There's been ravenous wolves that come within local flocks. There's been problems within the local church. But I'll tell you, my friend, even when there's been problems within bodies of Christ, even when there's been opposition and persecution and tribulation, they could not keep Him from building His church. And I'll tell you what, my friend, they cannot destroy His eternal kingdom. In Daniel 2:44, Daniel prophesied that a kingdom would be established that would endure forever. Sometimes you look out and you get discouraged when you see little churches dying on the vine. You get discouraged when you see what used to be large churches dwindling down. But one thing that gives you heart and gives you courage is this is a kingdom that will last for eternity. And they can't keep Him from returning. Jesus said, "I will return. Not to live on the earth, but to end the world," as Peter said in 2 Peter 3. "It will be by the will of the Lord." And all the mockery, jokes, lies will not stop Him from returning. Paul said that in 1 Thessalonians 4. He'll come and we'll meet Him in the air. You know what that means? They could not stop Jesus. They could not stop His work. They could not destroy His kingdom. They could not destroy His word. Remember, Jesus said in John 12:48 that we're going to be judged by His word. And they cannot keep Him from saving His people. And tonight, if you're not a child of God, there's nothing that stops you from obeying the gospel except you. We've got all things ready tonight. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. You could come and make your life right tonight, being immersed into Christ. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can wash away every sin you committed. I care not how black, filthy, dark this past may be. God's blood can atone for sin. Nothing can stop it, except if you decide to reject it. The question is, will you obey the gospel of Christ? As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.